You'll find an authorized version of Holy Scripture before you're in the pew. Pick up the Bible, and let's turn to the great prophecy of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 6, the 6th chapter of Isaiah. It's 698 in that Bible, page number 698. We read together on the Lord's Day morning, taking your time from me. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings, with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory, is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat. Make their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant and the houses without man. The land be utterly desolate. The Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. And yet in it shall be a tent, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree, and as an oak whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves. So the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Amen. God will stamp this reading from his very own infallible book. I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take, thank God he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. You may be seated. Open the Bible at the 6th chapter of Isaiah's prophecy. Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 6 and verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who shall go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Have you ever noticed how the Lord, in his wonderful word, allows us to eavesdrop even on the conversation that takes place by the Holy Trinity in the secrets of the conclave of deity. Think of it. You're allowed to eavesdrop. Perhaps you would take your Bible sometime and start reading to discover all the places in the Bible where we're let into the secret of the communion within the Godhead. When man was made, the Godhead communicated, "Let us make man." Let us make man. When man had to be cursed because of the fall, again, you have the conclave of deity. What will we do with fallen man? The psalmist tells us of a day when the Lord said unto his law, "Sit thou on my throne until I make thine enemies thy footstool." All through the Bible, we can eavesdrop on the secret communication Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has one with the other. Let me say something else to you today. Take the 17th chapter of John's Gospel. What a wonderful conversation we discover between the Father and the Son in that chapter. Mystery of mystery. Someone has said John 17 is the holiest of all. But here, in this prophecy, we are let into the great secret of the conversation of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And what is said? Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Whom shall I send? And who shall go for us? As we meet today, at this very moment, in heaven, God is communing in the Godhead. And the Eternal One in three, and the Eternal Three in One, are speaking together. What about? You have the answer here. They're still saying what they said in this 6th chapter of Isaiah. You know what they're saying today? Oh, that we might hear them. They say, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" The Father's heart, the Son's heart, and the Spirit's heart are still yearning for laborers to go and spread the gospel throughout this world of sinners. We just think about that. Every day, this is the conversation of deity. Was it any wonder that the Lord Jesus said, "The fields are white unto harvest. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will thrust forth laborers into his harvest." Could I just say very quickly, there are some things about this prophecy, 6th chapter of Isaiah, that are completely unique. This prophecy is not only mentioned here for the first time in its original revelation in Isaiah 6, but it occurs 6 other times. Making a total of 7. If you know anything about Bible numerics, you will know that 7 is the perfection number of the Bible. Think of it. This prophecy occurs 6 other times, making 7 in total. I don't know of any other prophecy that is recorded 7 times in the Bible, as this one is. Now, I may be wrong, And there may be some people who know more about the Bible than I do. And you need to rise early in the morning to catch up on me. But let me just say to you this. I don't know. I'd be glad if there was some genius here who could point out a scripture similar. But until I meet that genius, I have to tell you that in my study, I have found 7 times this great prophecy. I'll tell you something more. It is unique that this scripture is referred to the Father in its original here in the 6th chapter. It's referred to the Son in John's Gospel chapter 12. And it is referred to the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts at the last chapter. So maybe after you get a big lunch and you're filled with roast beef and unbelief, you'll have time to take down the Bible and have a look at that. But I must come quickly to my subject. I must not go everywhere preaching the word. I must come down to the text. Very simple text. There's a quest here. What is the quest? Whom shall I send? There's a question here. Who shall go? Who will go for us? And the quest comes. And the question has it answered. Has its answer? Because a voice says, "Here am I! Send me." Let's look at this quest. The God of heaven, the triune Jehovah God, is on a quest. What is he on a quest for? He's on a quest for representatives. He's on a quest for ambassadors. He's on a quest for those that will be accredited to the High Court of Heaven to represent the God of the whole earth and proclaim his word. Pick up your Bible and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we have this matter put in the plainest of language. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. What does it say? It says here, all things, chapter 5, verse 18, are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech him. You by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. God is looking for ambassadors. Brethren and sisters, we live in a perishing world. Brethren and sisters, we live in a perishing city. We live in a perishing country. We live in a perishing locality. We live amongst the perishing. But the Lord doesn't want them to perish. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. God wants them to hear the message and to be saved. Up there in the glory land, in the brightness of the brightness of Emmanuel's Lamb, the glorious, mysterious one, and three and three and one,
has upon his heart this great quest. Whom shall I send? Whom shall I send? Whom shall I send? If you do not go, Christian, no one will come. This sending of the Lord is limited to the blood-washed people of God. God doesn't send angels to preach the word of God. God sends blood-washed saints. You know why? Because the only real credibility of an ambassador is his experience. And I'm not called to be clever or scholarly or to be a genius. I'm called to repeat to men what God has done for my soul. I'm to be a witness. An accident takes place in the street. There's a man standing there. He's not what we would say in Ulster, the full shilling. He's an idiot. But he saw it. There's a fellow half a mile away. He's a genius. He has so many degrees that he just puts after his name the alphabet. He's a very clever person. But when it comes to court, he's no use, for he saw nothing. The idiot is the ideal witness because he saw it. My friend, the only way to spread the gospel is by being a witness. To have what God has done for your soul burning within you. So you can't keep it in. You have to explain what you're doing. There's a journey to be traversed. There's a job to be discharged. There is a deliverance to be accomplished. There are pits that we must climb into and pull out them out of the miry clay. There are brands that are burning. We have to pull them from the fire and quench them in the blood of the Lamb. And there's a hard cry in heaven tonight from God. What is it? Whom shall I send? Let me turn quickly to the question. The question says, who will go for us? Who will go for us? Who will be our advocate, our representative, our steward, our personal pleader? Who? Well, you'll find the answer in the previous part of this chapter. Because not anybody among the saints can go. Not anybody. You have to have the experience that this man, Isaiah, had. You know, I am amazed in the humility of God. You know what it says in verse 6? It uses the word also. I saw also the Lord. And then when we come down to my text, it says, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who shall go for us? And he said, go and tell this people. You see, when you look at verse 8, you'll find he heard the voice also. And then he saw the king also. God must do something. You read this chapter, you will notice that nobody speaks from heaven. That God doesn't speak in this chapter until you come to my text. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord God. You have every other voice at the beginning. You have the voice of the seraphim. And you have the voice of the prophet. But until the prophet has done his business at the altar, and until the holiness of God has been ingrained in his soul, he's deaf. He has an eye that's closed, and he's an ear that's closed, and he's a heart that's closed. But when that work has been done from verse 1 to verse 7, then we have the second, also something happens. Also I heard the voice of the Lord. Do you know that in this question there are two parts? The first part is a divine part. We've looked at that. It says, whom shall I send? Only God can do the sending. You can't send yourself. You go and send yourself into God's work and you'll be a total and absolute failure. God must send. There's a divine part. But then there is a human part. God must get a reply from the one he's calling. Here am I. Send me. Who will go for us? The sending is the Lord's doing. That's the divinity part of it. The going is our doing. That's the humanity part. And it's these two put together that enable a cry from Isaiah's heart. Here am I. Send me. What about this man, Isaiah? What was particular about him? He was the chosen of God. There wasn't many other people at this church service but himself. Doesn't say there was a big crowd in the temple. It must have been prayer meeting night and everybody was backslidden and weren't there. But he was there. He was chosen to be there. God made choice that Isaiah would be there, and he was there. He is divinely chosen. God has chosen you, my friend. He has chosen you if you're a child of God. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you to go and deliver the gospel. Every child of God is divinely chosen to this task. But something more, this man was totally willing. There was no press gang on. God's not looking for captives. God's looking for converts. God is not looking for people that are conscripts. God is looking for people that are volunteers. And immediately, God said, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Suddenly there was a voice, here am I, send me. He didn't need to be prodded. He didn't need to be pushed. He was ready. He was ready. But the reason that he was ready, when we come to look at the answer to these two challenges, was because God had done a work in his heart. And what was that work that he had done in his heart? The work that he had done in Isaiah's heart was Isaiah had partaken of the presence. He had a sense of God's presence. The trouble today, we have lost the manifestation of God's presence. We have our meetings. We have our prayer meetings. We have our evangelistic rallies. But there's something lacking. The real, definite, powerful, miraculous presence of God. You come to God's house today, the only thing you've heard is a preacher. God have mercy upon you. I pray, God, that you'll hear the still, small voice of God. That God will presence himself in this house and to your soul. You cannot know this until you have a faith that brings into your heart the presence of God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, that God is here. Isaiah had a sense of the presence of God. He not only partook of the presence of God, but he beheld the glory of God. I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Oh, that God might break with celestial splendor upon our soul. But how can we see the glory of God? There's only one place you can see the glory of God, and that's in the face of Jesus Christ. That's where the glory of God is. That's what Paul says. We can behold his glory in the face of Jesus. And remember, it is the one who has been to the cross. The one who has suffered and bled and died alone. And until the altar call was laid upon Isaiah's lips, he couldn't say, "Here am I, send me." He had to have the shadow of the cross upon him. Notice that this man was smitten with the holiness of God. The celestial messengers had only one sacred chant. What did they chant? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And they all talked to one another, and they all said the same thing. Holy, holy, holy. What is holiness? Holiness is the beauty of God. That's what holiness is. The beauty of God. You'll never see his beauty, my brother, my sister, until God gets you afresh to that cross and God stamps upon you the requirement of holiness. Notice he partook of the sacrament, of the sacrifice. He was a recipient of the sacrifice. You notice, please, notice this, that the angel couldn't touch the sacrifice. He had to take it with the tongs. The altar was not for angels. But thank God, the altar is for me, the sinner. Praise God, there's room at the cross for me. Praise God, there's room at the cross for you, dear sinner, in this meeting. Without God and without hope and without faith, there's room at the cross for you. And there's room at the cross for every child of God to hear this word. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Notice he not only was the recipient of that mighty work, having confessed his sin, and upon the lips that he said were unclean, it was upon the unclean place that the coal of the altar was laid. There's power in the cross. Cleanse the place where sin is. And then notice he was totally and absolutely obedient to God's command. He didn't make any reservations. He says, "Here am I, but wait a minute, Lord." And some things to square up here. Well, he said, "Here am I, send me." You may not know, but Isaiah himself became a martyr to his faith. Under the wicked reign of Manasseh, the history records, the secular history of Judaism records that Isaiah had to flee for his life, and he found a hiding place in a tree that had been scooped out where he could creep in and hide after he performed this preaching mission. But one day the soldiers of Manasseh told that wicked, evil king that they had found Isaiah's hiding place. So the king came. He commanded his soldiers to block the two ends of the tree. And he brought a saw. And he sawed the tree through and cut through the body of Isaiah. When Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me," he was going to go out to his own death. But he was willing to do that. He didn't make any qualifications, because he was God's man with God's fire in his soul. God will not have you going on your terms. You will go on God's terms, or you'll not go at all. Holy, holy, holy Lord, be endless praise to thee, supreme, essential one adored, and co-eternal three. Isaiah's sacred vision showed the seraphs veil their wings, while thee, Jehovah Lord and God, the angelic army sings. To thee by shining powers on high, where hallowed praise is given, when John beheld with raptured eye the inhabitants of heaven. There all the holy happy ones to thee in hymns aspire. We too as angels on our thrones shall join the blissful choir. Heal, holy, holy, holy Lord, be endless praise to thee, supreme, essential, one adored, and co-eternal three. Written by Samuel Wesley, the father of the Wesley brothers. How true it is. When we have the holiness of God ingrained upon us, when we have seen the beauty of God, we will say there is no sacrifice too great that I cannot make for him. Jesus went all the way for you. He expects you to go all the way with him. What is your response going to be? Are you going to dilly-dally? Let your life be wasted. Get to heaven after a bonfire. And God burns up the wood, hay, and stubble of a misspent life. And you are only saved by fire. Are you going to get to heaven with gold and silver and precious stones? Here am I. Send me. Let's bow our hands. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy blessed word, how good it is to our souls. And we pray this day that the Lord may speak to our hearts, and there'll be a ready response to the challenge of the message of God. May men and women this day say, "Here am I. Send me." And once again, standing in this pulpit after 56 years of preaching on this road, I would say from the depth of my heart, "Here am I. Send me." Answer these prayers for Jesus' sake. And everybody say, Amen.